And good morning. Welcome to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. It is Wednesday, the fourth day of February. Happy Wednesday to everybody out there. Hopefully you're staying safe and warm. There are still lots of spots of, let's say, ice, particularly in Narstown. I drift through Narstown. There was quite a lot of puddles of water that people were driving through. There's a lot of distributors at the back end of Narstown. I guess they might have released some of their water from there. And then everybody's driving through it and tracking it through Narstown. So keep an eye out for that. Also, there was a terrible fire this morning. I believe it was the Norris Hill Apartments. Every time you search for the story, Norris Hill Apartments comes up. So it says an apartment complex in Narstown. It said Norris Apartments. So two and two together. There's a couple Norris-typed apartment complexes out there, but not a good-looking situation out there at the moment. So hopefully, if there's anything that you can do, contact the Red Cross. Initially, I thought it had been a lot of families that were living there. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's 21 people were displaced, no families, but 21 individuals still without a home. So you can see if there's any way that you can help them out by contacting the Red Cross, I'm sure. Anyway, I am Andrew Turner. I have my two co-hosts here.
Good morning, Andrew. I'm Susan Locke.
And this is Al Locke. Good morning.
You're definitely not going to want to miss today's show. For the second hour, we're going to be talking all things Ukraine and America. All kinds of things, and what is really going on. We've got a few experts coming in to talk to us about everything. So we'll get into that a little bit later, but that'll be in our 8 o'clock hour, if I'm not mistaken, guys, correct?
Exactly. These are two certifiable experts, both with close ties to the Ukraine, both who've gone back and forth to Ukraine for weeks at a time. They're going to be able to. And this is a breaking story. It has been in the news, but now it's really up front and center, and they're going to be able to get some really good information to our audience. I'm really excited to have them on, and that's at 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and we're looking forward to being enlightened and informed.
Right. As you said, Al, these guys have gone to the Ukraine and come back. So a few times as well. So we there are boots on the ground, if it were. They're the ones who are going to give us the, their view of it from the Ukraine. So
one of them is a retired U.S. Colonel, went to the U.S. War College. The other one is a lawyer. Both of them have family that are still in the Ukraine. The Colonel actually, Roman, went back to monitor the Ukrainian elections, and basically this is going to be really something to have this kind of information right here coming from the Valley Forge area, Jeffersonville, on WFYL.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's going to be a very interesting interview today. Hey, it's actually going to be a pretty decent day out today as well. It seems like right now it's just about 27 degrees. Sunrise should be soon, if not already. And it's got a high today, 41. So not too bad. Our low is actually what it is right now. It feels like 16, but it's really about 27 degrees. And then we have, of course, a 41-degree high today. Not too bad. Seems like it'll be pretty decent. Tomorrow, though, dips right back down. 28 degrees is our high tomorrow. 27 is our low. Susan, I believe now would be the time for us to do a verse, if you have one.
I do. Thank you, Andrew. This is Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Powerful. We always pick such good verses for the morning.
It's important to remember those who've gone before us in faith. So many. It gives us inspiration. It gives us hope. And it does help us with the endurance and perseverance when we feel weak.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in tough times, that's something that you always need to remember.
Right.
Well, we've kind of gone through what we're doing for later on in the program. Really excited for that. Can't wait for that to come. But we do have some interesting stories to start us out today as well. I don't know. I believe it was just on the Fox News break there, but there was a train crash in New York City last night or early this morning. Pretty terrible. It sounds like 7 people lost their life. And they had, you know, just absolute panic, was the headline. It looks like 7 people passed away in that. Dozens were injured. A SUV, was on the tracks. It sounds like, the driver of the SUV was one of the casualties in this accident. It got stuck on the tracks. This was about last night. So it was 6:30 p.m. last night. But they said in the story that the third rail, the electrified third rail of the tracks had been thrust up through the bottom of the train, which I'm assuming had something to do with why there was so much carnage. I mean, it seems like the guys were like, oh, there was an explosion, there was a fire. I would assume that would have something to do with it. Those things are pretty electrified. So
this was actually in Westchester, not in New York City.
Okay, so New York.
It was a commuter train, right? It was a commuter train taking people home from the city. It happened in Westchester.
Just terrible. Just terrible. This is things that we saw about a year ago. I remember 2013, there was a lot of these. You had one in Canada that was carrying like jet fuel that had caught on fire on its way through a town, almost burned the town to the ground. You had the one in New York City. It was a commuter train, but it was in Battery Park or something like that. It was going around a corner and just completely derailed. I remember correctly, it was like 13 of these type of accidents. Nothing this big, though. You know, nothing at the scale of this with how many casualties they had in this unfortunate train accident. Really is just a terrible, terrible thing. And another thing, too, would be there was yet another plane crash in Southeast Asia. There was a Taiwanese jet, and it crashed into the Taiwan River. And the NTSB, which I didn't realize that the NTSB was one to do international investigations on flights.
I didn't either.
I assume if there's Americans on the flight, they have jurisdiction to overlook it. But unfortunately, in this case, they believe it was negligence of the pilot, who they say was taking pictures and posting them to the internet while he was flying the plane. Of course, I believe there was dozens hurt and killed in that. I mean, there's video of the plane. It's a dash cam of a car driving down an overpass in the city, and it is it's pretty chilling to see that video. So, viewer beware, of course. But I mean, this thing just comes in completely sideways and almost takes out the roadway, which of course has some cars on it as well. Just terrible, really just terrible transportation accidents that are happening this morning. Of course, we mentioned the fire, too. Hopefully we'll have a little bit of more happy news for you coming up in a few minutes. But, you know, we definitely wanted to make mention of these. I feel like Southeast Asia can't really catch a break with the amount of plane crashes. Do you think it'll have any impact on their tourism, Al?
I don't think so. I think probably a lot of these governments aren't as developed as ours. And, of course, the government leaders want to get to the bottom of this and act like they're concerned, which I'm sure they are. So they call in any available agency that is provided to get to the bottom of it. A lot of the planes are made overseas. We make probably half the Boeing planes. So basically, they probably call on us because of our expertise, and our government provides our agencies because we can learn from the situation and perhaps prevent our own planes going down.
That's a good point. Yeah, no, that's most likely why the NTSB is involved, to just see why something like that is happening, to make you know, future planes different. But it sounds like complete human error in that case, which is really tragic.
It really is, but that's been in the Navy, and they used to do incident report whenever an accident happens in a nuclear reactor. And basically, a lot of it is human error. I would like to say about the Bible verse, 11 out of the 12 disciples were killed in the service of Christ, including Christ himself. So we need to bear witness by our actions of the faith they exhibited.
Absolutely. Well, we do have to head to a commercial break. Hopefully we can bring it up a little bit in just a few minutes. So stay right there. We'll be right back with more It's a New Day. It's a new day here at 1180 WFYL, 19 minutes past the hour. Thank you for joining us this morning here at 1180 WFYL. Remember, if you can't catch us on your radio dials, you can still tune in any time of day at 1180WFYL.com. If you listen in there, you can catch us streaming. As Susan mentioned yesterday, we are a daytime station, so we are sun up, sundown. Which means that just around 5 o'clock, I believe, we moved to streaming only. But, you know, there's still things that are play. So we've got all kinds of original content as well as, you know, syndicated content. So if you missed a show, you can hop on. And
it's actually 5:30 now.
5:30. Wonderful.
7 in the morning until 5:30.
Wonderful. So you can catch all of that at 1180WFYL.com. A lot of folks are downloading the TuneIn app, and they're streaming us from there. You can subscribe. Lets us know you're listening.
Roger Hedgecock is on from 6 to 9, and he's really an intellect. He stands in for Rush Limbaugh when Rush goes on vacation. And I tune him in on my way home from work often because he has so many good points, and he's brilliant in numerous ways. So, yes, we actually stream him on the weekends, don't we, Susan, and sometimes at night?
Yeah, he's also on, yeah, 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. And if you are not able to listen to Laura Ingram in the morning from 9 to noon, if you're at work or can't listen for some reason, she's on again in the evenings from 9 to 12. The same thing that she, that the same program that's on in the morning is on again in the evening from 9 to 12.
Wonderful. Very, very good. Now, moving forward, is there anything that you have, Al, that you would want to...
I have numerous articles here that we should make our listeners aware of. Perhaps the main item of interest is starting at 8:05, we're going to have two experts in the Ukraine here in the studio. You'll be able to hear them live. And I really urge everybody to tune in. It's really something whose time has come. The war's getting, it's actually a full-grown war over there. 1 million refugees have been replaced. 5,000 people have been killed. It's in the Pentagon studying it and whether to up the military shipments of military material to the Ukrainian government. So this is going to be really interesting, and it's cutting edge because Congressman Gerlach actually asked Roman, one of the experts, retired colonel, U.S. Army, on what materials to ship a year ago. And Roman is telling us that the very items that he recommended a year ago are now being more or less okayed to ship over there. We'll see how it all turns out, of course. Other items we have, is Gallup, the chief executive officer, and the chairman of the board, Jim Clifton, has come out with a very strong piece. This is the biggest polling organization in the United States, Gallup Polls, and this is February 3rd, just breaking news, and the title of this is The Big Lie, 5.6% Unemployment. The Big Lie, 5.6% Unemployment. There's something that many Americans, including some of the smartest and the most educated among us, don't know. The official unemployment rate, as reported by the U.S. Department of Labor, is extremely misleading. Right now, we're hearing much celebrating from the media, the White House, and Wall Street about how the unemployment is down to 5.6%. The cheerleading for this number is deafening. The media loves a comeback story. The White House wants to score political points, and Wall Street would like you to stay in the market. None of them will tell you this. This is the president and CEO of Gallup. None of them will tell you this. If you, a family member, or anyone else is unemployed and has subsequently given up finding a job, if you are so hopelessly out of work that you've stopped looking over the past 4 weeks, the Department of Labor doesn't count you as unemployed. That's right. While you are unemployed as one can possibly be, and tragically may never find work again, you are not counted in the figure we see relentlessly in the news, the current 5.6%. Right now, as many as 30 million Americans are either out of work or severely unemployed. Trust me, the vast majority of them aren't throwing parties to toast the falling unemployment. There's another reason why the official rate is misleading. Say you're out of work engineer, or healthcare worker, or construction worker, or retail manager. If you perform a minimum of 1 hour of work a week and are paid at least $20, maybe someone pays you to mow their lawn, you're officially not counted as unemployed in the much-reported 5.6%. Few Americans know this. Yet another figure of importance that doesn't get much press, those working part-time but wanting full-time work, if you have a degree in chemistry or math and are working 10 hours a week part-time because that is all you can find, in other words, you are severely unemployed, the government doesn't count you in the 5.6%. Few Americans know this. There's no other way to say this. The official unemployment rate, which cruelly overlooks the suffering of the long-term and often permanently unemployed, as well as the depressingly unemployed, amounts to a big lie.
Wow.
What can I say?
I'm trying to think of a way to describe that, but that, you know, that's like, you don't have, so if I don't have car insurance for 3 months, they're going to be like, oh, we're not going to account you anymore. You know, I don't even know how to put that, because it's, if you are unemployed, or if you don't have a job, that should figure into an unemployment statistic. Where's that from, that story?
This is from the CEO headquarters of Gallup.
Hmm.
So this is straight from the horse's mouth. And it's almost
pun
like
intended.
Pravda, you know, it's almost like Joseph Goebbels. They're skewing the numbers to make for their own selfish reasons, but essentially... And the man had guts to say it. It's a big lie. I appreciate his honesty, and I appreciate it getting out to the American people through his organization.
Hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that's...
There's another article here. Obama proposes tax hikes for next year of $6,461 per person.
$2 trillion is a big number there.
President Obama proposed $4 trillion... The $4 trillion federal budget would raise taxes $2.1 trillion, or $6,461 per person, but would spend $2.4 trillion more, drawing a dead-in-the-water reaction from members of Congress who will write the bill. So he's proposing this, not only raising taxes $6,400 a year, but going to spend all more, actually, than what he's raised in taxes. In other words, 2.1, he'd raise taxes, he'd spend that, and then he'd spend $2.4 trillion more for a total of $4.5 trillion. But he keeps submitting these budgets, and the Congress, even the Democratic Senate, wouldn't vote on it, you know, wouldn't okay it. He's just, he does it for the press, I imagine. But the bottom line is the American people can't afford it. But that's another item in the news. And another quick item is...
Well, I thought it was affordable health care, though, Al.
Yeah, well...
We all know it's...
I have a feeling there's a lot more in there, too, that has to do with it. I mean, I can't imagine that anything passed over the last 2 years was not laden with pork barrel spending. Hopefully it doesn't continue that way.
Hopefully not. That's why it's important for people to get to know what's going on in Washington.
Contact your representatives.
Elect good people.
Contact them.
Yeah, just find out. I mean, there's lots of great groups, too. There's, you know, I just heard of one yesterday in King of Prussia, Citizens of Liberty. They meet, you know, you can look those guys up. They're non-party affiliated. You know, a lot of times when we hear these, they're either a Tea Party group or a Democrat group or a Republican group. They're non-party affiliated. They just simply are there for information, which is great. We do have to head to another commercial break. When we get back, we'll be continuing on with the news. So stay right there. We'll be right back. Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL, 33 minutes past the hour. It is Wednesday, the 4th of February, so happy Wednesday to everybody out there. In the news today, there has been, in the news yesterday after the show, as I was looking over the news, was where it had popped up. Many of you know, ISIS has been... making the news headlines lately for executing prisoners that they hold in pretty terrible ways. There's been beheadings. There's been just straight up executions. But not so much as horrible, I would say. You know, they're all been horrible, but the most recent execution that they performed on a Jordanian pilot who they had been trying to make a deal with Jordan to trade back and forth for a failed suicide bomber who Jordan currently holds captive or currently held captive as of yesterday. Unfortunately, they caged this man and they set him on fire. It was truly, truly a barbaric act of brutality. Absolutely terrible, unfathomable for most of, you know, the world to try and comprehend. And in fact, I think people who are previously trying to push past some of the things that ISIS have done, and you know, I think there's a group of people out there, a large group of people out there who just don't want to think about it. And now are finally thrust into thinking about it, because when you hear those words of they caged somebody and they set them on fire, and the way that it was done, they had a trail of gasoline leading up to him. So he literally, you know, had his time to make his peace while he watched a flame reach him. It was truly, truly insane and awful.
Diabolical.
Brutality. Yes, truly. Yeah, barbaric indeed. If you haven't thought something needed to be done, we don't know who you are, because now, you know, clearly something horrible has happened, even more horrible than, again, I mentioned beheadings. You know, as horrible as that can be, this is even worse. I believe as of this morning, the headline was that Jordan, in an act of retaliation, has hanged the woman who was the who they were trying to be in talks for in a trade. They were trying to swap those prisoners. When Jordan found out what had happened to one of their own, they decided that it was time that they hanged this failed suicide bomber. I believe previously the reason why they hadn't was because they were in talks to try to get him back. She was a woman. I think they were showing a little bit of grace. and not prosecuting her to the fullest extent of their laws. But once they found out that this had happened and that it was filmed and that it was put on the internet for all to see, they were able, they just, you know, said, okay, well, this is what we're doing then. And if you look at it in the you know, the light of what they did to this pilot, ISIS did to this pilot, you know, she got off easy with a hanging. I mean, I, not to say that an eye for an eye, you know, keeps the whole world blind. So it truly is horrible, terrible. And remember, this is the JV guys. These are the people that are so-called bankrupt. You know, well, if they're bankrupt and they're JV, let's take a moment to smear them off the face of the earth and get on with civilized society. What do you guys think?
I think it is a barbaric act. I am appalled by it. Outraged might be a better term. I think it just proves that ISIS is beyond redemption in a major way. We have to be very, very careful here. If you stand back and you look at things, they're actually trying to stir us up, to agitate us, almost to make us do something that isn't rational by stirring our emotions. So basically, to rush into Syria and Iraq, we've already done that with Iraq, with our military, I mean, and that it didn't turn out as well as we'd hoped, to say the least. And there's people that want us to waste our resources and our young men in a war that has a low probability of changing things. So I really think we need to really study this before we do what might first occur to us by sending troops and everything in there. We need to really study this. This is not something that's what our enemies want us to do. They want to antagonize us, to rush in there emotionally and waste our resources and our young men, get spread out among too many areas. We're going to be talking about the Ukraine. There's other vital areas of the world that we need to address and keep our limited armed forces available for other emergencies. But they're trying to stir us up. They're trying to waste our resources and have us spend our money on fighting some yahoos in the backwoods.
I think it is important, though, to acknowledge and recognize and realize that they are a terrorist group.
Oh,
and
certainly.
Name them as such and stop pretending. Our officials seem to be tiptoeing around that and pretending that they're not really all that bad. They are. They need to really be realistic about the situation.
Mm.
Stop pretending that it isn't what it is.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just such a shame to have such brutality broadcast for all to see. I mean, that's truly, I think, one of the largest crimes at heart here is that they, you know, it's, you put something out like that, they take it down immediately from most places, but you can find it. You know what I mean? You can find it if you look for it, and you know,
just can't pretend it's not happening. It's like pretending that the concentration camps
right.
weren't there during World War
II. You know, I've heard
ignore this.
I've heard that some of the, you know, the reason why, if you've, you know, I haven't personally watched the videos because I just don't want to see that kind of brutality. But you know, the videos of people who have watched them describe the victims as being very calm, very, very calm, complacently calm. And it's partially because there was an expert saying that usually the tactics that they will do is they will do mock executions over and over and over and over again, so that by the time the person actually is executed, they don't even know it's really coming. I mean, they just, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But I mean, that kind of level of torture is what you're looking at here. You know, these are not people who will give consideration. You know, hey, even though the Vietnamese kept people, you know, alive for a lot of times, they were tortured heavily. But, you know, and I'm assuming some of this may have happened we haven't heard about. But in those times back, you know, Korean War, Vietnam War, we didn't have the internet like we have today. And we weren't able to, you know, broadcast such horrible acts of brutality. So it truly is a terrible and awesome time that we live in that enables
in
such
that
a
is.
Yeah to enable such a thing to happen. But anyway, Al, did you have something else you wanted to mention? Let's bring it back to the U.S. Let's bring it back to the home front. We've gotten the kind of the big international stories off the story for the morning
here.
More
international story.
Okay,
I would like to urge our listeners to listen from 8 o'clock to 9. We're going to have experts on the Ukraine here, and this is right there, front and center in the news. And I expect to be informed, and I'm sure our listeners will. But one of the items that's on the news is the Border Patrol has basically had their rifles taken away from them to a major degree, and 600 Border Patrol agents in this one sector have like 200 rifles, so they share rifles. And this is a dangerous precedent. I was on the rifle team at the University of Oklahoma, and essentially when you sight in a rifle, you know, for your particular characteristics, you can get very accurate with it. On the other hand, somebody else might take the same rifle using the same sights, and he might shoot 3 inches to the left or 4 inches to the right of your sighting, and he would have to then adjust the rifle to his characteristics. So it's really dangerous to have shared rifles. I don't think any military man would argue with that, or a gun enthusiast. So I think we need to give our Border Patrol the best equipment we can to protect their lives. A lot of times they get into gunfights with some really dangerous people, and when they shoot, they need to hit what they're shooting at.
Yeah, I would say if you're going to take the time to do all that, you might as well aim true. We have to head to a commercial break, actually, but we will... You know, we'll be back in the next segment with giving you more news here. Remember, you can call in at 610-539-8255. That's 610-539-TALK. Give us a call. Line up some questions for our guests. We're going to be talking about the situation in Ukraine right now. Yeah, that'll be in our 8 o'clock hour, so definitely tune in for that. Please give us a call again, 610-539-8255. We'll be right back after these commercial breaks, so stay right there. Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL, 48 minutes past the hour. Remember, we've got a very special interview coming up in just a few minutes, just about 15, 20 minutes away now. That you should definitely be a part of. Give us a call, 610-539-8255. All questions that you have on what is going on in Ukraine right now, give us a call for that, and we'll be able to ask our guests any questions that you may have. We'll write them down, and we'll be able to ask them for you. You can also email us at info@1180 if you feel so compelled to. We can answer some questions there for you as well, give you some information, help you out with whatever you need there. Alan, I believe you had a story you would have liked to mention.
Yes, I do. It's something to make our listeners aware of how things operate in the world, not only the world, but right here in the United States, in my opinion. In the news is the murder of a Argentine special prosecutor. And basically, as close as they can tell, he was shot at point-blank range, shot to the head, I believe in his home. Not 100% sure of that. But they found that after doing an investigation, they found he had drawn up an indictment against the president of Argentina. And that's the latest breaking news. And of course, that's going to spur a lot of follow-up investigation in Argentina. And while to the uninitiated, the ones that people that might not follow history, as perhaps some of us do, this seems to be almost unbelievable that you'd even connect the killing of a special prosecutor to the president of Argentina. But that's, as our own history demonstrates, Bill O'Reilly just wrote a book on the killing of Patton. And if you read that book like I have, makes a strong case that Patton was killed because at the end of the war, he was anti-USSR and even was, in my opinion, dumb enough to suggest that we continue World War II by attacking the Soviet Union, which obviously our leadership had no intention of doing. He was right in the point that sooner or later we couldn't come to agreement with the USSR, and we had to treat them at arm's length and basically not let them do what they wanted to do, which was to take over Europe. So he was right to a point, but to say it publicly exposed him to a lot of rebuke. And basically, according to O'Reilly's book, it wasn't the CIA in those days, it was the OSS. Donovan ordered Patton's killing. There's even a man that claims to have participated in it. He didn't actually kill Patton, but he was aware of it, and he was actually paid for doing it.
So let's get this straight, because I know this is something that this is brand new as of this morning, correct? I think this is...
No, this has been around for a long time.
No, I mean this story of the special prosecutor.
Yes,
So there was an arrest warrant at the special prosecutor's home. I'm reading that. A draft of it for the president and their foreign minister.
No, just the president.
No, it's their foreign minister as well.
Well,
so it's Hector Timmerman and... Oh, no, sorry. Hector Timmerman, you're right. Argentina's foreign minister. And it said that... there was an arrest warrant for the president that was drafted, but the document had also sought the arrest for Hector Timmerman, which was Argentina's foreign minister. So it sounds like it named both of them in their report.
You're right. More than likely, I just read the headlines. To me, it connected up with other, like President Kennedy in this country and. Secretary of Defense Forrestal, and of course the Ukrainian foreign minister / president, I'm not sure what they call him over there, was poisoned and almost died. So this is unfortunately the world we live in, whether it's Argentina or the United States. The patriots out there, which I would like to include myself in that number, need to be aware that the opposition doesn't always use the voting booth to basically get their way. So we have to be aware that in other countries and this country sometimes, it's a dangerous world, and turned out to be that way in Argentina recently.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it looks like that so the New York Times is saying is that Kushner and Timmerman have repeatedly denied the accusation that they tried to reach secret deals with Iranians to lift international arrest warrants for Iranian officials wanted in connection with bombings. So it sounds like they were looking at them for corruption. And you know, this special prosecutor who was looking to go after them was found dead in his home. And that this article is from, you know, yesterday. So
yeah, they killed him in his home. It's an outrage. If they can connect the dots to the president and prime minister, they should at a minimum put him out of office.
So in 1994, there was a bombing of a Jewish center in Argentina, I believe. And they were accusing President Cristina Kirchner, accusing her of trying to shield Iranian officials from the responsibility of that bombing. And the lead investigator was found dead in his home yesterday. Pretty wild stuff. Obviously, as you said, you know, hopefully they can connect the dots to something. We're not pointing the fingers at anybody now. However, I mean, you look at what has happened. There's an arrest warrant. That's like me, you finding, you know, my personal property being on you and me being found dead. You know, it's just, you know, there's some pretty shady things going on here. Hopefully they can get to the bottom of it. Because that's not certainly something that we want to have happen, you know.
Well, South my America. Point is that it's, you used the term wild stuff going on. I say that this is something that we all have to be aware of. It's one of the tools in a dictator's toolbox to kill his enemies. And basically, one way or the other, by poisoning, which has been the case of Russian in the past, ongoing, and basically even here in the United States. So you want to be careful with the statements you make. You don't want to antagonize people too stridently, because you run the risk of assassination. It's just you should look behind the scenes. Things aren't always what they appear to be, and this is tragic, and the solution to this is to bring people to justice and basically punish them for their crimes, and I hope they get to the bottom of this in Argentina.
Absolutely. Al, we've got about a minute left. Why don't you give us a little interlude to what we're going to be doing in the next segment?
Well, this is a very important interview we're going to be doing with two certified experts in Argentina, in Ukraine. And Ukraine is a very, very important country in Europe. It basically, traditionally, has been very close to Russia, although over the centuries, over the thousands of years, it's been dominated by different countries, the Poles, the Russians, the Germanic peoples, Australians, Austrians, but it's like Cuba. Think of it as Cuba. When the Russians, USSR, put missiles in Cuba, we really reacted strongly. We tried to poison Castro. We did all kinds of things. So this is very, very important to Russia. It provides them access to the Black Sea. That's why they invaded recently. So we're really looking forward to this this interview.
Absolutely. We've got to head to commercial break. Stay right there. I'll be right back.